Okay, we have a challenging Aliyah this morning. And there is some amazing synergy, which we'll comment on. But it's an Aliyah that has some unique difficulties with it, as we're aware and we'll speak about. And we hope that we can put it in the right frame of reference, especially as we begin Slichos weekend, the Shabbos, and we're looking towards Yemei HaDin. So the message of this Aliyah are very serious ones. So Shishi of Kisavo, which is a Parak of Ches, Pasuk Zayin, so begins, we're not in the bad stuff yet. We start with the good stuff, which is a point that we'll discuss a little bit more later on. So we're being told how things could be good. And this first Pasuk, we won't say that much, we just have to highlight one point of quite powerful synergy. The pasuk says, "Yitain Hashem esayvacha hakamim alecha nigafim lefanecha v'derech echad yitzu elecha v'vashiv adrachim v'nusu lefanecha." So your enemies will be defeated, and they're going to come at you from one direction, and they're going to have to scatter off into seven directions. I should say, by the way, both for reasons of time and for reasons of content, we won't go through every pasuk in this aliyah. It's 62 pasukim long. It's very long, but also we'll discuss a little bit the nature of the tochacha, not translating every word in Salia and not going through it all together has what to be said for it, or what not to be said for it, let's put it that way. So it's again thematically appropriate, but just to focus on some of the ideas. So this pasuk won't say a whole lot, but just how can we not mention that b'derech echad, so that's kedusha daf beis and mebeis, right? To our Gemara tells us that you see that the word derech is zachar because of the way it's referred to in this pasuk. And ta'isha nikdei shoshalosh drachim, the whole discussion that the Gemara has, that's how we should grammatically approach the word derech. And then it's also discussed that we find it's also used as nekeva. So our Gemara tells us that because here it's a reference to Mochama, so Mochama is lashon zachar because men are the ones who go out to war, and that, of course, also the topic we spoke about last week, and the Shushi of Kiseise, so that is double synergy. Okay? So then the next pasuk goes on to say, Yitzav Hashem Yitzcha es habracha ba'asamecha v'chol mishlach gadecha v'rachacha ba'aretz asher Hashem lokecha lo semach. So God will command bracha to you, asamecha. What does asamecha mean? It's translated as storehouses. But there is another idea here, which the Gemara picks up on a few places in Masechet Tainis, an idea that ein habracha shora el al davar ha-samoi min ha'ayin. This word sounds like it means samoi, means hidden, means covered up. And we have this notion that a bracha comes from on guard that which is hidden. And there are many homiletic interpretations, either a reference to tznius, a reference to some understand it to say that true bracha in this world is in the intangibles and the things that we can't see and we can't point to. Maybe that a little bit synergizes with our discussion yesterday about what the symbolism of Kedushin is and some of the beautiful explanations that were suggested. But the general understanding, in a way, it really appears from the Gemara, is that the idea is that we want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to shower bracha on us, but we don't want to rely or to ask for overt miracles, and that overt miracles happen very rarely and only with great need. So therefore, if something is public and everyone sees that it was one thing and all of a sudden becomes something else, so that's a nes nigla. That's a big draw on our bank account we've got. That's not something that we have too much possibility for, or we can take that too often. But when no one knows what the story is, so then there's room for bracha to increase, there's room for good things to happen, and it doesn't require nes nigla. By definition, it's different than nes nigla and nes nista. This is a nes that could happen. It's not going to be so expensive, so to speak, because it doesn't require changing something in a dramatic way that people can appreciate. This connects a little bit sometimes to themes of Ayin Hara, in some ways yes, in some ways no, But that's this idea that we have, that for many reasons we like to be tzanua about the matters of bracha, we like to be restrained, and we have this notion, all the different interpretations that we're seeing here, that bracha is more likely when we're dealing with something that is more hidden. This next pasuk has a line which isn't only here. There are different forms of it throughout Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Dvarim, 8 times in Sefer Dvarim alone, but it's one of the major slogans of life. Here the pasuk says, "Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh," God is going to establish you as a holy nation. "Kashem yishbolach kisishmor as mitzvos Hashem elokecha v'halachta b'drocha," and you shall follow His commandments and you shall walk in His ways. So what does v'halachta b'drocha mean? This is the main mantra that appears, as I'm about to say, 8 times in Sefer the Chofetz Chaim, in Sefer Avos Chesed, makes a reference to that, that this mitzvah appears 8 times in the Torah. And if you look at his citation, you see they're all in Sefer Dvarim. They're all here. This idea, it's known in Latin as the imitatio Dei, supposed to imitate God. So the question is, how do you imitate God? We don't have the same skill set. Right, so what does it mean to act like God? So the Gemara explains in a few places that this is one of the major commandments of Chesed. This is one of the major directives that we are supposed to act like God in terms of bestowing kindness on the world. So to that extent, the Gemara has it really in two ways. The Gemara has this comment a number of times. Sometimes it focuses on attributes. The Gemara says, "Mahu chanun v'rachum, afata chanun v'rachum." Just like God is compassionate and kind, so you should be kind and compassionate. And elsewhere, the Gemara Masechta Sota focuses on specific acts. That mahu malbish arumin v'kover mason, that we see that the Torah begins and ends with examples of God engaging in chesed. At the very beginning of the Torah, He provides clothes for Adam and Chava. At the very end of the Torah, He provides a kvura for Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have chesed at the beginning, chesed at the end. So that shows us that that's how we're supposed to act. Halacha b'drocha, we're supposed to follow in His path. So that is counted as a mitzvah. The Rabbah Masefer Mitzvahs count for Halacha b'drocha as a mitzvah because we should engage in chesed. But he also counts as a mitzvah, the pasuk v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. And that, he explains also, is a directive to engage in chesed. So it seems like we have two identical mitzvahs. Many, many commentaries explain that no, that they're both about chesed, but they're not the same thing. They overlap a lot, but they're different. That the Ahav L'Reach Kamocha, that's the idea that we're supposed to provide service to people and to be there for people in need, while Halachta B'Drocha tells us to engage in chesed with a different end, with the idea that we should transform our personalities into godlike personalities, that we should be like Him. So most of the time, those will take us down the same path, those will correlate to each other, and sometimes there'll be differences, sometimes there'll be reasons where you'll focus more on one than the other. I think maybe we mentioned an example, this also synergizes to our Shishi from 3 weeks ago, because Parshas Re'eh, we were talking about Staka, and the chesed that connects with Staka, I think this is really quite striking just how much Aliyah specific synergy you can find. The same slot in the parsha seems to correlate in ways that are very surprising. So in Re'eh we talked about Staka and we talked about how the themes there are really all in the spirit of Halachta B'Drocha, of not only helping people but helping people in a way that makes us more godlike. So these two notions of Halachta B'Drocha and V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, they generally take us in the same direction, but they could diverge. So, for example, if you want to be very godlike, you might think, all right, so I'll give away everything I have. I'll divest myself of all human possessions, and that will make me very godlike. And it will, maybe, perhaps, but it'll have other problems, but you also will not be of much benefit to anyone from that point. You're not going to be able to give tzedaka, and you're going to have to take from tzedaka. So we find that the Gemara in the Sukkos tells us you're not allowed to give away even a fifth of your money. You have to hold on to what you need to live and what you need to continue and to prosper and to still be involved in tzedaka. And that's from the practical perspective. So sometimes we have a tension between the halachta b'drach of chesed and the ahav l'rech kamoch of chesed, and we have to figure out what needs to be emphasized. But for the most part, they take us in the same direction of halachta b'drach of, and the ahav l'rech kamoch, it's all about chesed. But it's not only about chesed. So the Gemara has this idea that chesed is the primary example, but Rav Soloveitchik expanded on this thing, and Rav Shechter and the Nefesh HaRav has a whole kuntres of Halachta B'drachav that is based on this idea, expanding, that the Rav explained that when you find things in the Torah or in the Gemara that are telling us about the nature of God, so very often it's there for a halachic purpose. It's there to help fulfill this mitzvah of the halachta b'drachav, telling us what we should know to copy. So we find, for example, what he talks about there, so one of the more humorous examples, literally, is he says that the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that part of every day God plays with Leviathan, plays with a big fish. So one could understandably ask, why do I need to know that? It's too much information. Why do I need to be told that God spends part of his day playing with a big fish? So to that, the Rav explained, he gave this in a hesped for Moshe Shatzkis, one of the Rosh Yeshiva here, said that the message that Gemara is that you can't take everything so seriously. You have to have a little bit of a sense of humor, you have to be able to be playful sometimes. There's a lot to say about that. Maybe in a firm time, we can come back to that point. But that's one of the extra details of Halakha B'drachah that he noted. Or, for example, in the beginning of Bereishis, there's a famous drasha, which I think was written up in the Russian to the Rav, if you ever read that book. So there is a whole drasha there where the Rav discusses the first Rashi in Kumish, which asks, why does the Torah begin with Bereishis? Why do we need the story of Bereishis? He explained that the reason is to teach us that we have to be creative, to teach us that we have to know how to build, how to make things. And in that spirit, he explained also why there's a medrash that says that this world was not the first world that God created, and he created many worlds, and he wasn't happy with them until he created this one. So he made a world, destroyed it, until he settled on this one. This one's a good one. So the Rav explained there also, why do I need such a story? He says also, b'halachta b'drachav, because we need to know how to build. And what's even harder is to be able to build after we've built something and it got knocked down, and we built again, it got knocked down, we built again. To have that power to rebuild, that requires tremendous dedication. And that's also what we're told there in Halachta B'drachah. There are many applications, just to give another very seasonal one. So the Gemara talks about a story in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara has story relevant to the idea of asking for mechila, that we have a very important chiyuv at this time of year, before Yom Kippur, to ask for mechila from those who we have hurt. So the Gemara tells a story that Rav, who had been offended by a certain butcher, so when Yom Kippur came close, so he made himself available so the butcher would be able to ask mechila easily. And the Bitzel of Petterberger, this is Blazer, was one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Shaul Salanter. So he has a whole sikha there where he says that Rav is doing this in fulfillment of the idea of halachta b'drachah, because that's what God does too. Because the Gemara has a drasha on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Dirshu Hashem b'imatzo, kru'u b'hizo karo, right, that we should seek out God when he is found, and we should call out to him when he's close. So says the Gemara, Eilu asarah sayyamim shebein rosh hashanah liyom kippur. That's the time when God is closest, and he does that, he makes himself close so that it should be easy for us to go back to him, it should be easy for us to do tshuva. So if that's the case, so b'halachta b'drachah means also if somebody has offended you, if somebody has caused you problems, so you shouldn't be very hard to guess, you shouldn't make it difficult for bridges to be fixed, but you should make yourself available so that anything that needs to be done to fix the problem can be done. So this is the idea of the halachta b'drachah. And in addition to the Gemaras that are very explicit, but there are other references that you can see that that's also the idea. So for example, the pasuk in Yisro, where the Torah tells us that Yisro gave advice to Moshe, he says that you should teach the people the big concepts, You should teach them the path on which they should walk. And the Gemara says there also, Derech is Chesed, because that's the Derech of God, that's the path of God. We find also in Parshas Vayera that after the Malachim come to Avram, and God says, Machasanim Avram, I couldn't hide anything from Avram, because Kiyadati is the Sheret Tzadis, one of his Beis Ohachar, I know that he's going to teach his whole family and his descendants that they should go with my Derech. And that Derech, also some of the Midrashim comment that that's a marker for Chesed again. God's path is Chesed, that's what it means. So one could ask in general that if I say, okay, I want to follow God's path, so God seems like he's behind a lot of destruction as well, so I could say, right, I'll kill people and I'll do other things, I'm also following God's path. And sometimes we talk about playing God in a very negative way. Here, there's a mitzvah literally to play God, is essentially what it says. And yet, we talk about playing God, and we talk about that in English. We mean it in a very negative way. We mean that somebody is taking on God's authority to do whatever he wants to the world, and clearly that's not what we leave for human beings. So one could say, how do we know what is the derech we're supposed to path, we're supposed to follow, and what's the derech we're not supposed to follow? So there are various indications, and again, Chazal have helped us with this, but there's a comment Rav Schwab has in the Sefer, that the word derech, by its nature, means the things that are regular, the things that are there all the time, it's a path. So the good things, those are the default. If there's anything that needs to be done that's punitive, that's destructive, that's the yitzim and aklaus. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that, that's not his derech. His path, his derech, is what he does regularly, and therefore if we're told to follow his regular path, that means the default mode of chesed and of being mated to the world. Okay, so now the next line has one of the very crucial lines also that speak to our mission in a different sense. That's also why this aliyah has so much that's so hashkafically important. So this next pasuk is one of the lines that really speak to us as a holy nation is supposed to be a role model for the world. So we know we have the idea of being an Orla Goyim, which is an idea that's enough, but in the Torah itself, so there are a few places where we are addressed specifically and told that we're meant to be a nation that the world looks at and that the world gets a message from. So here, this pasuk is one of those major psukim. V'ro'u kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimekra. So the literal translation, it sounds like we're still talking about how you'll be protected in war. So the nations of the world will see you, and they'll realize that God is with you, God's name is on you, so to speak, you're branded with God's name. So they'll be afraid, so they're not going to fight you. But we also understand this more broadly, that they will learn Yiras Shamayim from you, that they will learn what it means to be a person who is holy, a person who is refined, and therefore they'll get the message, that they'll learn Yiras Shamayim, and they'll see this as inspiration. So that's a very, very powerful statement about our responsibility to be inspirational role models to the world and to recognize just how terrible that is when we fall short. This is one of the points I frequently make about the issue of how we speak, especially if you go out into the business world. So to speak properly, to not engage in nibble pet, such an important concept, and I have stories about this, which we can talk about at a different time. But the point being that that's one barometer by which people can tell whether somebody is refined or not. If somebody speaks in a dignified fashion and doesn't speak in a vulgar fashion, so people can tell. All right, the more elevated people don't engage in that kind of profane speech. So somebody who looks religious, who's identifiably Jewish, and goes out into the public square and speaks in a vulgar fashion, so then it creates the impression that, oh, people are okay. They go out, they leave work early on Fridays and they have to order special food, but other than that, they're just as debased as everyone else. And the message has to be very much not that way. It has to be, yes, we leave early on Friday and we have to cook to have special food. And that comes together with an elevated personality. So because this is one of the barometers people are really able to relate to, and should continue to be the case that somebody who does engage in such speech when they see a religious person, they say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, I hope I didn't offend you. So that type of sensitivity, that should always be the way, but that's essentially what the Pasuk is saying. When we see somebody who is Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, somebody who is identified as a religious person, so we are Rebecca, they should learn to have more restraint, have more Yira Shamayim in your presence. That's the proper attitude, and that's what this Pasuk is conveying. There's an additional level of interpretation, which the Gemara also has, that the Gemara in a few places, that the idea of see God's name written on you means literally. The Gemara says in Menachos, the Gemara says in Brachos, Elu Tfilin Shemarosh. The Tfilin Shemarosh have a particular status, I have time to say more about that, as an expression of the Yirah Shemayim, and that goes together with a number of ideas that the Tfilin Shemarosh are distinct from the Tfilin Shemayad. It's a discussion of first and whether this is really meant to include Tfilin Shoyad, or is it specifically a reference to Tfilin Shel Rosh? We know we have the idea that Tfilin Shoyad is supposed to be concealed, it's supposed to be under your sleeve, and you're covering them up. It's Oslecha B'lo L'Acherim, while Tfilin Shel Rosh are supposed to be visible, it's supposed to be on top of your head and everyone sees them. And so here it's what the Chazal are darshaning in this pasuk, that everyone will see Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, they'll see the Tfilin Shel Rosh, the Shin on it, it's also a discussion. And they will learn Yirah Shamayim. There's a lot to be said about that as well. Okay, so just a little further. Vosircha Hashem l'tov b'fi vidnacha v'rivatecha. God will make you abundant in goodness for the fruit of your body. It refers to your children. B'fi v'hemtecha v'hemtecha v'hadama shenishba Hashem l'techa. Hashenishba Hashem tzar l'abasecha l'asei tzlach. Chassam Sofer had a drasha on this pasuk that Vosircha Hashem l'tova b'fi vidnacha. Vosircha also means to be left over, so to speak, right? So Chassam Sofer had a drasha that if somebody fulfilled his entire tachlis in this world, so then you might think, okay, so that's it. There's no reason for them to live on. But God will allow such people often to continue living anyway. Why? Because if they're going to have children, then they'll be able to train those children and teach those children so they'll fulfill their tachlis in the world. So that's how you read the pasuk for Sircha Hashem Latova, b'fri vidnacha, for the good of your children, so God will keep you around, even if you've already accomplished what you were meant to accomplish in this world sometimes, hopefully more often than not. And the pasuk goes on, Yiftach Hashem Lacha, Seisor HaTovas, Shemayim, Seis Matarzacha, Vito, Ulubarech Eskomasi Adecha, Behavisa Goyim Rabin, Gata, Leisilva. So you're going to get blessing, everything's going to be good, you're going to have blessing from rain. Chazal have a comment here. I don't know if this really counts as synergy, but the blessing is going to come everywhere, even the pruta in your pockets. We spoke yesterday about the pruta. So how does the pruta in your pocket benefit from the fact that it's raining? So it's a little hard to understand. So some understand that what that means is that when there's rain outside, when everything is growing and everything is thriving, so then resources become cheap and people are able to get a lot for the pruta. And when things are scarce outside, so then everything becomes expensive and the pruta doesn't accomplish so much. So how that pruta relates to the world outside is going to be affected by how well the world outside is doing. So the shava kesef from the kesef, what exactly, and to maybe force this energy here a little bit, what exactly is the value of the kesef, of the pruta, is going to fluctuate based on how well the rest of the world is doing. So here you have a pasuk, a nesoncha, a pasuk in Gimel, a nesoncha Hashem l'rosh, b'ol zanav, a'isarak l'mayim. And God will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up. Here, rak l'mayim, Chazal have the same drasha they have in the pasuk of kedosh tiyu, ki kadosh ani. Ki kadosh ani, God says you should be holy, but you should know that I'm the holiest. You can't be holier than me. So here are two of you, some rock l'mayla, you should be l'mayla, but rock is, you can't be as holy as God, you can be very high. So God will make you the head and not the tail. So there is a comment here, look at what exactly this means. So the Ramban has a comment on this L'Rosh idea. He says, you'll be the Rosh forever, all the time, and all the places. And there seems to be this little bright, expands on this in the Sefer Samderech. Like I mentioned, that Sefer Samderech is both a Sefer of Shurim and Kiddushim that we've been referring to, and it's also a Sefer of Vesichus on Chumash. So it's the same Sefer, same Mechaber, different volume, same title, and the same Mechaber, the same Rashid of Chever, Simchus of Sabroi. So he has a comment here that this reflects the idea, which is such a phenomenon, that the Jews are always the center of every story. They're always in the center of the world's attention. And we know this is no less true than any other time in history, that the whole world pays attention to Israel, even when you think that Israel is the cause of the whole world's problems. When you have 7 million people out of 7 billion people in the world, and for some reason the Jews are always the cause of, are always in the middle of everything, so that's also what this pasuk is alluding to. So here, this next pasuk is also particularly interesting. So here, this language is familiar to us from Parshas Shoftim, but it means something else, right? Parshas Shoftim, we know that you have an instruction from the rabbinate. You're not supposed to deviate young and small, and we have a lot to discuss about what that means. Last year, we spent a lot of time about that. What exactly is the meaning there of young and small? So that lo sasur. Here, you have those same words, clearly talking in a whole different context. Lo sasur, mikol advarim, asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom, young and small. L'alechet sacharei elohim acherim lo avdom. So here you have a lot of that familiar language, meaning something else. You should not deviate from that which I command you, to the right and to the left, to go after other gods. So the Ramban quotes the Bahag. The Ramban says that the Bahag counts this as its own mitzvah, it's its own losa, say. And he says, that's not right. This is really just keeping up the theme of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk was telling you about all the brachos that you can have. And here it's saying, how are you going to have those brachos? You'll have those brachos because you won't deviate from what I tell you to. You're not going to deviate from me to go towards the Avodah Zarah. So it's just a flow of a sentence. It's telling you what the brachos are contingent on, rather than a specific mitzvah. The Sforno has a powerful drush here. The Sforno comments that what's this idea of following other gods? So it's not just a Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah we already have. But what it means is it means people. So how are you following other people? So it's not even what you think it would mean. Because it means that it's the idea of mitzvah sanashim l'lumada, the idea that people will just do mitzvahs not because of any passionate belief or commitment to God, but because that was the habit. That's how they were raised. That's their culture and their environment. So they will continue with mitzvahs for that reason. So he says, if that's why you're religious, that's why you observe it, that's why you observe it, so that's not really worshiping God. That's really worshiping the people who gave you this custom, who gave you this habit and this training, but it's not coming with any real religious sentiment. So then that's a big problem. It's pretty powerful. So they say that this was the cause of all the qualas. It's a pretty intense statement. That's how the Sforno understands it. So this that flows into the next pasuk. So the next pasuk, that's where things get pretty heavy. So now we're talking about the Tocha. The next pasuk is where that starts. And before talking about the Tocha, just to continue the theme. So we went from the good things to the bad things. So that was all of these things could be good as long as you don't deviate. But now, V'haya lo sishma v'kal Hashem alakefa, lishmor lasas v'skol mitzvosu v'kosu v'shanuchim v'tzavach ha'yom v'vo alecha kalaklalo se'elev hisiglucha. If you're not going to listen, then it's not going to be so good. Then all of the curses are going to overcome you. So before talking about Tocha, this again, he notes that the idea of lo sishma b'kol, what does it mean not listening to the voice? So it doesn't just mean the mitzvahs itself. He quotes, based on the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, that kol means the idea behind the mitzvahs, that we should understand the tamei mitzvahs. The mitzvah itself is the mitzvah. The kol, the mitzvah, is the voice, is the message that the mitzvah conveys. So that's a very crucial idea. That's the idea that we have. I think we've talked about this year. Of Lefim Mishur Sadin, and the idea of Vesisa Hayashar Vahato, which tells us that not only are we supposed to follow the letter of the law, but we also have to follow the spirit of the law. So Rebroy actually comments there also that tells us that there's a mitzvah to learn Tamei HaMitzvos, that the idea of understanding the reasoning of the mitzvahs, that's not just Talmud Torah, but that's also a part of how we observe the mitzvah, because we have to make sure they're in sync. So when the Torah says kedushin to you, it means not only should you follow the rules, but you also have to be holy. You have to figure out what the reasoning behind each mitzvah is. When the Torah says asisa yashuv hatov, not only do you have to follow the rules of menachem chaveiro, but you have to figure out what the purpose is, so that you can act v'yashrus of the tov. And that's where we're forced to understand what the kol of the mitzvah is. And we know the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was destroyed al shehamidu divrei malchut Torah. That Yerushalayim sounds so strange. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they insisted on the Torah. The Gemara goes on to explain that they didn't act with nim b'shur tzedin. They didn't go beyond the din, and beyond the din means to understand what the theme of the mitzvah is. So here, with all these klalos which we associate with the korban, the second korban, with this idea of the destruction of Bal Yisrael because they weren't willing to go with the Mishra Sadeh. That reflects this idea of Bekolos, and not just to the details, but also what is the sound, what is the message, and trying to perceive that. So in any event, just to say some general words now about this whole section, this very, very difficult section, which, again, for many reasons, we won't go through word for word. But this is what's known in the Gemara as the Klalos of Mishnah Torah. This is the Tochacha that appears in Sefer Dvarim. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis talks about this. We know that we have Tochacha in two places in the Torah. So it's called the Klalos of Mishnah Torah, the Klalos here, and in Sefer Dvarim, and in Torah's Kohen, and in Vayikra, in Parshas Bechukosai, so we have that as well. So the Gemara says over there in Megillah, Lamed Aleph and Beis, that Ezra made a takana that the Tochacha of Vayikra should be read before Shavuos, and the Tochacha of Tvarim should be read before Rosh Hashanah. And that the idea is, Tichla Shana Kilo Seah, Tochel Shana the Birchay Seah. So let all the klolos of the previous year be over, let the new year end, the new year begin, rather, on a fresh slate. So we want to get this out of the way, so to speak, before Rosh Hashanah. Now, what exactly did they say about Shavuos? It's an important discussion, but not for now. So we'll focus on what's timely here. So before Rosh Hashanah, we get the Klalos in, and we can start the new year on a theme for Bracha. Some point out that the idea of the Zosa Bracha is at the beginning of the year, that all the more so represents that that's what we're doing. Now, that works out very well for us. It's always amazing just how well the calendar and the Parsha always line up, but it wasn't always the case that the Jewish people read the Parsha on such a schedule, and they finished the whole Torah every year. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to have a schedule of a three-year cycle, a triennial cycle. So what did they do then? So they couldn't work it out that Kisav was always going to be, the Tosha was always going to be before Rosh Hashanah. So that's a discussion as far, but some understand that apparently what they did then, it was like a Parsha Zachar, that they would purposely read this section before Rosh Hashanah anyway. And the fact that now it works out in our Parsha, so we have a double kiyum. So we have the kiyum reading the Parsha Shavuah, but also fulfilling the Takanas Ezra that the klolos should be read at this time. The Parsha Shavuah, she quotes the idea that Tichla, which we normally translate as let it be over, let it end the previous year, he quotes the idea that it's Milashim Tachlis, Milashim Kli, and the idea is that there's a purpose to this Tochacha, that it's not just bad stuff, but it's bad stuff supposed to accomplish something, and supposed to clean us out. And he quotes of Shlomo Bratva as saying, how does that process work? So we'll read these psukim, and these psukim speak very specifically, but also generally, about tzaras. And whatever tzaras that we feel we have, Rahman al-Islam, so we feel we have issues, so we'll see, oh, this pasuk happened to me. This pasuk has been fulfilled. So it must be that I did something wrong, and I will be moved towards tshuva, and then the impact will be that things will be better, and we'll have, God willing, a better year. So we also have a phrase that the Gemara has over there in Megillah, that Eim Afsikit in these clothes, that probably means that you don't break them up, that you have one long aliyah. And that one long aliyah, so Abaye says over there, that's only true in Vayikra. Vayikra, you have to mark it, not to break it up, but in Dvarim, it's not the case. And he has a distinction, which you have to try to figure out what that means. There's a lot written about this, that in Vayikra, it's God directly giving the Tochacha, and speaking in first person, saying, this is what I'm going to do.
And he's speaking through the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in Tvarim, it's a little bit better, no matter what the words sound like, but it's a little bit easier for us because it's Moshe speaking on his own initiative and speaking about what will happen for others, and the Ramban points out with the less precise language. So therefore, maybe we don't have the same kveda, although in practice we do keep going on Aliyah, but that maybe we don't necessarily have the same kveda. It also sounds like from there, and here we do have it both ways, that the issue is not just you don't interrupt, but that you don't make the Aliyah all that. That you have good stuff, like we saw, you have more pleasant themes at the beginning and more pleasant themes at the end, so it works well, especially if you have a Parsha Shir that just talks about one Aliyah, so you also have the opportunity to start and end on a more positive note. So in general, that's a page that we have. We want Aliyahs to start and end on positive points. Why that is an interesting question. Some of the Svarim says because we don't want to make the bracha on a negative idea, although Svarim struggle with that because it didn't used to be when you get an Aliyah that everyone in the middle would make the bracha at the beginning and end. You still made the bracha at the very beginning of the Kriyas HaTorah or at the end, so we have to figure out what that means. But that seems to be a kveda, that you should have something good at the beginning and good at the end. So here, especially when the theme is Tovucha, you could understand that also, because we're meant to understand that all of this is not just bad stuff in a vacuum, but it's not just negativity. This negativity is supposed to have a purpose, supposed to inspire us to recognize what the good thing is to do so that everything will work out. So it makes sense that we're told that when we read this section, we can't read it in a vacuum. We can't read it and just let people think that that's the whole story, that we definitely have to read it together with the good things at the beginning and the good things at the end, so that we should understand that the theme is that we are getting this message for a productive purpose, and hopefully are able to activate that. There's a minig, which some have, many have, it's brought to Sefer Shai Rachman, to read this quietly, to read this section. Seen that read quietly, maybe a little more quickly. So the idea of reading it quietly, we could understand. It's not nice, it's not pleasant material. So we could understand why maybe we would want to be more subdued. Other Svarim have more creative interpretations. Some say that since this section, even though it sounds so negative, Al Piso is a bracha, and its meaning Al Piso is positive. So how do you convey a so? You whisper, right? So you want to kind of activate the soul meaning, so if you whisper it, they're kind of conveying it as a soul. Others suggest that the Chorba and everything's talked about here is because it's an Eschinam, and it's an Eschinam is essentially Lashon Hara, like the Gemara says. So Lashon Hara, the Gemara elsewhere says that, for example, the Ketores was Machaper and Lashon Hara, and the Gemara says, Yavo Dover Shebechashai, the Achaper, that this quiet thing come and atone for an aver of speech. So too, we want to atone for an aver of speech, so we act a little more quietly, and maybe that's part of the message here. Minchas Elazar says that, and others far, like Minchas Elazar, they don't have this whole practice, they say you should read it out loud and normally. Some of the practice of not calling anybody up for this Aliyah, others are very opposed to that, that's not the proper practice. It's a question whether you should call with a name or not. The Magen Avraham quotes a minute to call Talmud Chacham for this, and also for the Aseres Hadibros and for the Shiur Sayam. The Ramah quotes the Nir Zeruah and for the Sefer Chassidim, an important point, that you should not call up somebody who you have a grudge with, somebody you're in a fight with, somebody who it's known that the Baal Koreh is in the middle of a fight with, so then you call this guy up for Tocha, it's going to look like you're wishing it on him. So you certainly want to do whatever you can to avoid that kind of imagery. You find that in other places as well, that we have a kveda not to embarrass somebody through the Aliyah, not to call somebody up when the Aliyah would seem like it's talking about them in a negative way. So to hear, if somebody looks like he's a good candidate for the Tovcha, so make sure not to give him this Aliyah. Okay, so I should have a few more minutes, so just quickly get a few more points, but there is very important concepts in the world. Get to figure out time to fill this in. First, just to skip the pasuk of Tess. We should also highlight a few other points. Well, first, we should highlight we can't miss the synergy because it now comes 3 weeks in a row of the same idea. But the Erisin Nisuin comes up pasuk Lamed. The same thing that we read about last week from the Chama context in Parsha Kiseitse, and before that Parsha Shoftim, three shishis in a row. So this is the same concern that we read about first in Parsha Shoftim, Pasuk Lamed. Yisha Sa'areis, Vishacher, Vishkavena, Bayis Tivneh, Velosei Shuvo, Kerem Tuta, Velos Lechalenu. All the things that somebody's going to leave work, he's afraid might happen, somebody else is going to marry his wife, is going to live in his house, etc., etc. So here that's given a call. So there's a lot of synergy there. The pasuk right before that says, "Va'yisa memashmesh b'sarayim kasher yimashesh aider ba'afelav lo satzliach esrachacha v'isaach ashuk v'gazul kol yamin ve'imashiyah." So you'll be like a blind person in the dark. So the Gemara has the Megillah. The Gemara has a discussion that that seems pretty redundant. The Gemara quotes the Rav Yossi, who says that his whole life he had a hard time understanding this pasuk, because if you're blind, then it doesn't matter if it's dark. What difference does it make? You can't see anyway. So what's worse about being a blind person in the dark than being a blind person in the light? So the Gemara quotes this mashal that if somebody is walking around and he can't see, so if it's daytime, so somebody who can see can help him. But if it's nighttime, nobody else can see either, so nobody will help him, so he's even worse off. So it's hard to be blind, but it's even harder to be blind in the dark, because not only can't you see, but nobody else will help you. So the same level of dependency that you feel normally, you feel even worse. So that's often used as a mashal for people who are totally at a disadvantage. But Teretz Mima points out here that because of this, so you have a couple of halachos, for example, that a summa does say the brach of Yotzer, that even though he can't see the light, but he benefits from the light, because it's better for him than other people can see the light. And so too also, we have a halacha that if a pregnant woman demands a light be lit on Shabbos when she's in labor, so we light it for her. And that's true, even if she's blind, even if she can't see the light, but she's going to feel comforted knowing that people around her can see better and will be in a better position to help her, then we still do that. We don't say we don't do it for somebody who can't see the light. One different thing is, though, that we don't say, the blind person doesn't say Bari Ma'arei Ha'esh, because the Gemara says you only say that once you actually benefit from the light. So here, I regret the timing. Maybe we'll have maybe during Aseret Yemei Teshuva we should come back, have Shir during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Maybe we should come back to this crucial pasuk which has relevance to the Yamei Tovim, and maybe we'll set aside a special day for this because it's such an important theme. But this idea of getting the good stuff at the end, but this is still the best stuff. Tachas Hashem Le'avadet Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Leivav Mirov Kol, that all of this happened because you didn't serve God with Simcha. So to say Simcha is such a crucial mitzvah that, oh, you missed out Simcha, all this horrific stuff is because of that, it's a very difficult idea to understand. Some say maybe it means you're reading it wrong. Maybe it means that Lo avadat Hashem Elokecha, you didn't serve God. And what was your attitude when you didn't serve God? The Simcha. You were happy about not serving God, and that's what made you in so much trouble. But the pashtus is that you didn't serve God, the Simcha became labor of the Rav Kol. You're missing out, and that's where all this horrible stuff comes. So that really deserves much more time than we have now. That sounds like a decent idea during a Sarsim Mitzvah. Maybe dedicate one of the days to the themes of Simcha that come from this pasuk, and so for Yadzis, Mitzvah Simcha Yadzis, probably is appropriate from that perspective anyway. So we'll just then mention to shoot to the end. We also can't not make note of the fact that this Aliyah is the mucker for the word Meshuggah. So call attention to that also. But the last pasuk is, the last pasuk positive, Eilu Divrei HaBris, Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe Lichos, Vei Yisrael Be'aretz Moav, Movat HaBris, Asher Karas Tzom Bechorev. So he made a bris at Har Sinai, and here's another bris. And this bris, so Chazal have a comment in the Sefer Brachos, that the word bris is used as a language by salt, bris melech, and also by Yisurin, and to make the comparison, that just as salt softens the meat, so too Yisurin soften your Averis. And the third theme has a comment here we have to try to understand. It says that Zidonis Nasimo Kizafu, so your Averis are turned into something better, actually turned into Zkuyas, which is a striking idea because the Gemara has that phrase for somebody who does Tshuva Me'ava. Here he's saying something else, not the Tshuva Me'ava, but that the Yisurin, if somebody goes through that, so it makes his Averis into actually something positive. So that's maybe also something to explore a little bit more as we get closer to Yom Kippur. But again, I think this is also a very appropriate idea. We'll have a separate day to follow up on this Aliyah, just on this one pasuk of Tachas HaShalayah, that's the Simcha. and what exactly that has implications for all of us. So it's machlokus whether or not there's dinner simcha by Shabbos, yes, simcha Shabbos, but Shabbos by Oynig and Kavon, but there are views that there are simcha by Shabbos, so I'll wish you all a happy Shabbos, and but certainly a Kavodik and Oynig Shabbos, and then we will pick up on Monday, that's the Shabbos.